radio.
Once more under the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And for those of you who are listening on the radio as opposed to listening on the web, first question popped in my mind right at the end of Fox News. They said, and the temperature there, we're talking about Poland, that people had been freezing to death in Poland. The temperature there last night was -2. Okay. Or 2 below. Was it Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Celsius.
Turns out it was Celsius. Now, I mean, it was Fahrenheit, which means it was like 35 degrees below zero Celsius. When I can understand, I mean, the high yesterday in Warsaw was 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The low last night was -2. That is a heck of a move. I can see why people would freeze to death. People who were out and unprepared for that probably were in deep trouble, which brings up another subject. If I could bring up another subject.
Yeah, besides people freezing to death?
Yes.
What? I mean, we can only go up from here.
A lot of implications in that term. Hey, there's a big debate going on in a lot of news about the apparent fact, and it is a fact, I think, at this point, that the Russian government intentionally hacked into the Democratic National Convention's computers and then through WikiLeaks and released a lot of bad stuff.
Wait, let's precursor this. Let's roll back a second here, because we're going to get into something.
I'm going to caveat this.
Okay, go ahead. Let's do it first, because people tend to, if you already have a political belief here, you're going to throw out what we're talking about. So just take a second. Look at this as a national defense issue. We're both satisfied that the election was not tampered with here. So keep that in mind as we go forward.
And this is there's a couple of things we can take. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, well, this happened or it didn't happen or whatever. It did happen. I mean,
I was in
the intelligence business and I recognize the language here. And that means we are darn as positive as we can get in this universe that the Russians intentionally did what they did. And they did it with the intent of influencing the election. Now, frankly, I don't think they threw the election. I think they may have influenced it slightly, but I don't think they threw the election.
Yeah, I think an opinion changer who didn't come from fake news, an opinion changer, for instance, would have come from the FBI director saying, hey, we're reinvestigating some emails.
And actually, a lot of research has gone into that, and it was the increase in the healthcare premiums that threw the election.
The major shift in the election shift, the major change in people's opinions had to do when they were informed that their insurance premiums were just about to go up by a large amount.
Mm-hmm. So, but this is something we can take away from this. Now, by the way, if you are following this story, what I recommend you do is go to multiple news sources, because I went to multiple news sources on this story. I went to Fox, went to the Wall Street Journal, went to Financial Times, went to all over the place. And what I discovered, if you want a balanced reporting on this, it's going to be someplace you pay for, like the Wall Street Journal or Barron's or Financial Times. It's going to be one of those places where you actually have to pay a fee, because they're more interested in keeping you happy as a person who is paying for their service than they are in keeping their advertisers happy. But there's valid positions all over the place. One is that the Russians shouldn't have done this, and we need to hit them with more sanctions or something to stop them from doing that. And that is a valid point. There's another valid point that's brought up heavily. Hannity brought it up very heavily, and that is, why did they leave the door unlocked? Why did they behave so stupidly? For example,
and we're talking about the DNC here,
right? The department and Podesta's emails, which, by the way, were accurately reported, in which he was saying things that he probably should not have been saying, and it revealed some things about the way he was thinking that were very unpleasant, occurred because a campaign aide responded to a phishing email. Went in, clicked the link. Somebody had said to the campaign, I mean, the phishing email said, there have been multiple attempts to hack this. Would you please follow this link and
change
go to this
your
location?
Password? Log in and change your password. Right. So they logged in to the wrong place and gave the password to the new people.
And so this, but we can learn something from that. Don't be like the Democratic National, what is it? Not convention.
Conference.
Committee.
Committee.
Don't be like the DNC. Be more like the RNC. Now, what does that mean?
The RNC, they attempted to hack the RNC, and they didn't get in.
Didn't get in, because the DNC apparently had outdated internet protection software, hadn't updated even the virus definitions. They were not paying attention to the fact that they might be hacked. They were saying things in their emails, a public email. They were saying things in an email system that they probably weren't expecting to be published in the paper.
Right. And this is something that I want to make extremely clear. We talked about this on the road on the way to the studio this morning. It's to blame the DNC or the RNC over this is stupid. So let's get that out of the way first. That's like saying,
I wouldn't say it was stupid.
To blame them is stupid. Well, they had some responsibility.
Let me get this clear.
If you are driving and you believe that you're in a safe part of town and you come to a stoplight and you don't have your door locked and somebody yanks the door open and yanks you out and takes your car, who's the victim? Well, the victim is very clear here. The aggressor is very clear here. The DNC, the problem with the DNC is they didn't educate themselves, so they were stupid too, because they were driving the internet, which is not a good part of town. That's something most of our listeners need to hear too.
Okay, now,
on the internet means that you need to take precautions.
I'm going to only object to what you said about blaming them as stupid, because our president-elect has blamed them. Hannity blamed them. I mean, these were not stupid people. You can choose to say, to lay the blame in various places.
Okay, let's step back and just say there was a victim. It was the DNC.
Right.
They didn't break the law.
No.
Someone else broke the law. They were not protecting themselves. And we can say you need to protect yourselves. Mm-hmm. But we live in a society where it's not unusual for young women to bare most of their body and go walking in public, because we live in a golden era where crime has really been beaten down by a lot, mostly by conservative pushing to beat it down. But we don't go to the beaches and say, everybody cover up because there may be nasty people around. We say, let's get rid of the nasty people. And that's the piece that's missing here. We may give education, hey, don't walk down a dark alley in a bikini. That's not a good idea. And that's what the DNC wound up doing. So in effect, they were stupid as well. But to blame them, I believe, is just as stupid, because the vast majority of America is doing exactly the same thing.
Right, and this is where, if anyone's actually listening, this is where I think it's critical. If you happen to have Windows 10, which I if you didn't get it, it's only because you didn't take advantage of their free offer or you've got a really old computer. But if you don't happen to be running Windows 10 with Windows Defender turned on, that's the minimum thing to do. If you're not running Windows 10, then you should have one of the something other than Kaspersky major virus and internet protection programs. And the reason we say Kaspersky's
Kaspersky.
Not good, Kaspersky, anything Kaspersky is one of the leading
free
email. Well, not only you have to pay for it.
Well, there's a free version.
Okay, but the internet and email protection systems, their building where they actually operate is in Moscow, next door to the what used to be the KGB. It used to be, and their operatives are ex-intelligence officers, maybe not really ex, from the Russian intelligence service. And we have a caller on 773-1400.
Well, something clear there. Their reserve intelligence, their reserve army for Moscow.
Yeah, and so you basically are opening yourself up to Russia if you're using Kaspersky.
All right, we've got a caller on 773-1400. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Is there any way to put them on hold once they call?
No. There is not.
I guess you can turn them on over there and then turn the volume
down. That's what I was doing.
So, yeah. Caller, if it just rang too long, give us a call back. We'll answer you right away. We don't really have a phone system in here anymore.
We have a phone that has got wires. There's no tape involved. So, to answer the phone, I throw this switch.
Uh-huh.
No. I hit this button here to make them – I give them audio by turning this up, and I say, hello, caller. You're on the air. Caller?
Hello. Hello. All right.
Hello.
I wasn't the last one. It was not me.
Okay. We'll take your word for it. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I'll make this as short and sweet and hopefully understandable as it can be. I agree that, it's horrible whoever hacked into whoever the DNC or the RNC or the FNC or whoever.
Right.
And that's we got to figure out ways to get better at protecting ourselves against that. And what I get to, what I think cost the Democrats the election, and I don't blame it on whoever hacked in there.
No.
Because everybody's trying to hack in there. I mean, the Chinese, the Japanese.
Right.
Taiwanese, the Martianese, anybody's trying to hack in everywhere. We're doing the same thing to other people too.
You got it.
Yes, we are.
That's fair and balanced.
I think what happened is it exposed the true nature, and I know they didn't expect it to ever get out there. But if you read the email and the comments, which I think are being glossed over by everyone, if they would have been acting in their constituents' best interest throughout. And somebody hacked in there and saw these emails, wouldn't have changed. I mean, I'm not sure Hillary would have won. Don't get me wrong there. I don't know that would have happened. But I think that's what hurt more than anything is it opened up a window into the soul. If you'd have gone into the RNC, you might have found the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm confident you would have, having been on the inside of that type of thing.
The RNC and the DNC are political organizations, which means you take the worst of us and put them all in the same room.
Yeah. So I think to me that's the story. It gets glossed over because I think the news media wants to gloss it over. Let's figure out how to protect ourselves better. But at the same time, let's don't misappropriate the election. The Chinese stole it, or the Russians stole it, or somebody else stole it.
No, they didn't.
It was stupid. I don't like to use the word stupid, maybe, but it was very, very
negligent,
inappropriate. Yeah, inappropriate. The comments that were being made about their constituency that I think could have tipped things.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you, by the way. One of the, basically somebody opened up the sausage factory and you saw what was going into the sausage and you decided, man, that's disgusting.
Right, and another piece of this fits in very, very closely, is that there was a real issue that came up and was investigated by the FBI that Hillary Clinton had her own email server. And the FBI said it was negligent. The inspector general for the State Department said it was negligent. And then to have the DNC and her chief of staff appointee hacked says that she probably didn't have that great a system of security on the prior emails.
Yeah.
So being in the position that we know we need to be careful and then having it happen, I don't believe it through the election. What I think should be going on, though, is that we as Americans, let's say there's two big taboos that were broken here. In the espionage world, when you hack somebody else or when you learn something, you don't publish it. You use it inside your own intelligence group. That's rule number one in espionage. They broke that rule. Somebody very likely, and by very likely was, I'd say, 99% probability, the Russians took it and either through an intermediary or something, took it to WikiLeaks, leaked it all out. That's one of those things that in the espionage world, that's a big no-no. The bigger no-no, the one that is much more important to America, is that they used it at a timing that would affect the election. It doesn't look like it actually did this time, because there was a lot of slime. There were no smoking guns in those emails. There was a lot of disgusting stuff. By disgusting, I mean politics. But there was no smoking gun saying, we broke this law, ha ha ha, we're going to pull one over. None of that existed. What did exist was that someone broke into, I mean, this is like Watergate stuff here. When a political party or a political entity breaks into another political entity's supposed to be secure, but somebody left the door unlocked facility and starts throwing the dirty underwear everywhere, we need to punish the person that broke in and really educate the people that left the door unlocked, because most of us are leaving the door unlocked on our own stuff.
There's Putin, one that came out in the intelligence report, and it sounds very credible because it matches up with what he's been saying publicly. Vladimir Putin engineered this or directed it, but his primary objective was not – he had a secondary objective of assisting Donald Trump in being elected. His primary objective was to discredit the democratic process and to cause cynicism and to cause people to lose faith in democracy, because he doesn't like democracy. And I think he was quite successful. As a matter of fact, they're apparently internally – we hacked their system. They internally were congratulating each other on their success in discrediting democracy. And that's the threat. That's the real threat right there, is that if he can, by airing the dirty laundry of the people like Podesta, he's discrediting democracy. And this is nothing new, by the way.
No, I mean,
Senator Ervin back in the Reagan, when President Reagan was president, said that the making of legislation is like the making of sausage. The end user should never witness the process. Because if you see what goes into sausage, it's mostly the intestines of, if you eat an Oscar Mayer wiener, most of what you're eating is hog intestines.
There's some belly buttons too.
There are?
Yeah, I understand so.
So anyway, so there's a lot that went on out there. And what you take away from it is what's important. If you take away from it that, oh, the Democrats are bad or the Republicans are bad or whatever. And Jake said something very earlier that I really completely agree with. The crime rate went down in Houston because there was action taken against criminals. So we need to take some, in my opinion, take some action to make Russia pay for the fact that they obviously tried to influence our election. Now, the Chinese managed to get a hold of the name, social security number, address, shoe size, and everything else on millions of people.
We have a caller going, but I'm going to...
But they didn't try to influence the election.
Right. I want to throw this in. Back when the Model T came out, the car automobile,
mm-hmm.
they didn't have any locks on that thing. You just got in, you cranked the thing and you turned it on and you drove it away.
But the right-hand door wouldn't open.
Right. Well,
there was no door there.
It was just painted on. There's no door locks. There was no ignition lock. There was a crank that you turned, and that started the engine, and then you drove away.
Right.
And that was the norm. And all the competitors came out and had the same thing. And then eventually people said, well, people are stealing our cars. We need to put some locks on there. And that's where we are in the internet age. You need to get some locks on your computer if it doesn't have it, because people are using your computers to commit crimes. We've got a caller on 773-1400. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. Talking about the hacking and the Russian connection.
nice reference there. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not – it's just one more excuse. They're not going to give it up until Inauguration Day.
No.
Who? Wait.
Who? The Russians are not going to give it up?
Or the DNC?
No, the DNC.
We're not even approaching it from that position. We don't believe that the election was thrown that way. Let's just take that politics side of it away. We know that the hacking happened.
Well, we know the hacking happened.
Your dad used to be in the intel
area,
and that thing is incestuous. Okay, he knows it. He knows that place is just crawling with a bunch of
which place,
you know, old timers that you know, they think that the power,
which
that,
place who are which, we talking
I don't
about
know who you're
we're talking
about
NSA
no
DHS,
they're not no
the average age of the NSA is in the lower 40s.
The NSA, the CIA, and the other no I'm going to disagree with you completely. There's no incest going on there.
They're all connected to power.
No, they're not. They're absolutely not. And I have been in intelligence, and I can tell you, they, generally speaking, let me put it this way. Knowing a few people that are still in the business, they do not like Obama or the Democrats.
They're generally Republicans. Right.
And
are
so
they,
if you're going to, if it was.
General service employee.
General service?
They're GSA rated, right?
Some of them are, and some of them are DOD. But
some of them are contractors.
It's totally beside the point.
Union.
No, I don't know whether they're union or not. It's beside the point. They don't like President Obama.
Okay. I'm telling you right now, those guys and gals all are, what, up there in the Ivy League, Ivy Tower?
No, they're just regular working people.
I think you mean Ivory Tower.
Ivy League towers.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. The majority of them don't have college degrees.
Okay.
The majority of them are just common working people. I worked with a lot of people who worked their way up from nothing, who have a high school diploma.
Why would they leak stuff to newspapers before they even give it to the new president-elect?
They don't. They don't.
Yeah.
All right. Let me hit this one, because this covers two areas. There are private intelligence firms that only deal with encryption type issues, hacking issues. Those are the ones that came together. A large group of private institutions came out and said it was very likely the Russians. Obama came out with a report from the intelligence services saying the same thing. So now it's being presented in a lot of detail to the president-elect. We don't have access to the classified documents that the president-elect has just looked at. And if you look at what the president-elect said coming out, one, the DNC are trying to use it as an excuse. Absolutely true. The DNC lost, and they are crying, and they're being babies about it. The Russians didn't throw the election. But something bad happened, and if we're not Americans first, then we're exactly what you're claiming the people at the NSA are. You got to get out of the religion of being your party before the country. The country comes first.
I agree.
And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you without –
you're singing to the choir right here.
Well, and I'm going to tell you something. The people who work in the intelligence agencies, for them, any form – of partisanship, any form of electoral sliding one way or the other to the left or the right or the Republicans or the Democrats is first forbidden by law. They will lose their jobs. Secondly, that is a bunch of people who are by nature conservatives, and I've been around a lot of them. They are not fans of the Democrats. They're not fans, certainly, of Obama, who has restricted their activities.
Well,
and they if they were going to slant the news one way or the other unconsciously,
well,
it would be towards the right.
The military industrial complex right now is threatened. Okay.
Why is it threatened? Absolutely
they
not.
Want the war machine to continue.
No, no. You have got this completely wrong. The new president wants to increase defense spending, right? The old one wants to cut it.
Okay.
So they would be pro-Trump, wouldn't they?
Well, I just know that the last past 8 years, the current administration has kept us in a war footing for the solid. It's been 8 years of nothing but.
I disagree completely.
Okay, what we're going to do here, this has gone way political. Rather than discussing politics, and I'll put you back on, I'm not hanging up on you. We're not going to talk politics. What we're talking about is infrastructure, economics, and what we can do to protect ourselves. The fact that this happened at the DNC is already a hot button, and that causes people to come out and say, all right, there's going to be people that politically believe one way or another. If we replace DNC with a nonpartisan group,
ABC,
no, that's not nonpartisan. If we replaced it with the RNC and the DNC got hacked, we need to look at it like that. The RNC, they attempted to, and it didn't go through. Mm-hmm. So when we're coming at this, this isn't an attack on the president-elect. It isn't an attack on the election system from us. It is a statement that we need to increase our security personally, because we don't, in this radio program, have any effect on what the DNC does or what the RNC does or any other large political organization. What we can do is, if you're concerned about the military-industrial complex, if you're concerned about overseas input into your computer, if you're concerned about losing your identity, then you need to get some security on your computer. The DNC needs to do it, but we also need to get, at a federal level, and maybe bigger, a set of laws that says that this sort of thing is a crime that can be,
well,
that can be followed up, because right now we've got private organizations, kind of like what the Pinkertons used to do.
We have laws on the books. Matter of fact, John Carter put one of them on the books. The problem is, if somebody in Romania is hacking through a server in Africa that is taking control of unprotected computers in the United States, personal computers, and those personal computers are doing the hacking, you've got these different countries with different laws on different continents. You getting back to the people who actually did it, because of the fact it's illegal here, but the only people who broke the law here effectively are the people who didn't put internet protection on their computers.
Right. Caller, you're still on the air, but what
yeah,
I want
listen,
you to do
– I want you to talk about the Federal Reserve being audited. They're talking about that. They're talking about the Federal Reserve.
Who's talking about it?
Yeah, because it's already audited.
I think they want to do it. I think the Trump administration, when it gets
in
office, wants to audit the Federal Reserve.
Well, state something clearly here. The Federal Reserve is audited quarterly by three completely independent auditing firms.
I understand it.
They're not audited by Congress.
Right.
That's the key issue. And I don't think that Donald Trump wants to audit the Federal Reserve at the congressional level. I think
he may want to
release the audit reports publicly, which may or may not be a good thing.
Well, the last person that wanted to do that was assassinated in 1963. The last president that wanted to do that.
No, not true.
What presidents
not
in the
true.
Past have wanted
no
to do that?
No president has ever wanted to have the audits of the Federal Reserve released.
I thought JFK had wanted to release.
No, he did not. No president in his right mind, and again, President Trump, to the best of my knowledge, has never suggested having those audits released.
All right.
The reason is a lot of what the Federal Reserve does, just like a lot of what your bank does, needs to remain checked but kept private. It's kind of like saying, let's audit the CIA and release every one of their secret agents' names.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is the Federal Reserve does things on a regular basis with money that unless you really understand what's going on could be terribly misinterpreted and caused a panic. For instance, what they don't want to do, one of the things the Federal Reserve does, for example, is it identifies on a regular basis banks that are weak and need to have higher supervision or maybe loans made to them temporarily because something happened. If that was made public,
it would cause a run on the bank.
There would be runs on banks across the country. We would put the nation in a financial crisis. There's really no risk because the Federal Reserve is going to back that bank, but it would still cause people to panic and make runs on the bank.
Yeah, they would see a risk that doesn't exist anymore because it was being covered.
It's like saying, would you like Congress to audit you quarterly?
Well,
and publish it.
I'm sorry to rile y'all up, but I just can't see where everybody's getting off on the future's looking so bad. It's not.
It isn't. It isn't.
Good.
I agree.
If he's half of what he's wanting to do, then he got my vote again in 3 or 4 years.
Who are you talking about? Are you talking about Trump?
I'm talking about the current administration. And then John Carter, hopefully, he'll be supporting him.
Okay. All right. And I understand that.
We feel the same way. Let's make this very clear. Barring some disaster on January 20th, we will have a new president, and we will be fully supportive of that president.
That's our president.
Do I think that that president has flaws? Yes.
Do I think
that the current president has flaws? Yes. For example, and I'll just be very blunt here, the future president of the United States tweeted that he wanted to impose a tariff on Corolla cars made by Toyota in a factory they were expanding in Baja. They don't make Corollas there. They make pickups. I mean, you could follow around and say, what was he trying to say? And then you discover that it wasn't Corollas that they were making at the factory. They're starting a new factory in Mexico, and the absolute gigantic majority, maybe all of the cars that are manufactured in that factory will be sold in third world countries. It won't be sold in the United States. So a Japanese company is opening a factory, not taking any jobs from the United States, in Mexico to sell cars to third world countries. And our president-elect tweeted that he wanted to put a tariff on Corolla cars, aren't made in either factory.
Yeah, let's kind of approach this and say any president is flawed. You got to accept that to begin with. Now, he's going to be the president. He's our president, and we're going to be looking for policies to support or policies to not support.
But we're going to support him as president.
Right. When it comes to if we are at work, he is the commander-in-chief. If there's a political tinge, just particularly coming out of the political election season, that tends to approach all policy and economics conversations. This isn't a statement about Trump so much as a statement about we cannot allow hacking to influence our elections. We cannot allow hacking to influence our financial system.
Mm-hmm. And there's only so much we can do about that. We can write our congressman. You can write John Carter and say we need to hammer the Russians over this. Go for it. But the big thing you can do.
As soon as you become partisan, though, it goes in one ear and out the other.
The big thing you can do personally is make sure you are not participating in the weakness in the United States, because there are literally, and I'm not being excessive or here, millions of computers in the United States that are infected by hacking software so that somebody in Russia
or Nigeria
or China
or Ukraine or China or the United States,
right, can bombard, let's say, an electric utility and shut it down using those computers. And if your computer is one of those computers that doesn't have an internet protection and antivirus program on it that's up to date that you're paying for, then you could easily be one of those persons. And the second thing, personally, and I'll say this to everybody, never send critical personal information over an unsecured email. What's an unsecured email? Just about anything that comes out of your computer. In other words, if you send your social security number, your bank statement, now if you go to your bank and you log in and that's what's called a secure connection, you can read your bank statement, that's fine. But if you then print that out in a PDF or some way and send it to somebody else over a regular email system, somebody could easily, without, as Julian Assange said, a 14-year-old could hack that.
Right.
Okay?
Well, this is news just came out this last month from Yahoo that they had a second major attack, much, and by much, I mean lots much larger than any other attack they've ever had, that basically compromised all of their email accounts. If you have a Yahoo account, you probably should get on and change your email address because it is out there. People can log into it if they want.
And if at some point you sent your bank information, email address, and you know your passwords or whatever over a Yahoo internet connection or Yahoo email, it says Yahoo at the end, something dot.
Right.
It's out there. And it's just a matter of when or if somebody gets to it and uses it.
I have been approached in the past several weeks by several people saying, what does that have to do with economics? When we talked about education, when we talk about hacking, when we talk about encryption, what it has to do with economics is the same thing that infrastructure, roadways, railroads has to do with economics. Without that, none of the rest of it works. We have to have a good education system so our economics function. We have to have a good security system so that you're not afraid to walk down the street, so that you're not afraid to send an email. Well, right now, that system is in danger. And keeping that in mind is really important. We've done our public service announcement. We've already riled up some people about it.
Good.
Which hopefully that will cause them to get some.
And by the way,
security.
Let me throw one other thing in here. I personally, Jeff McClure, am looking forward to the Trump administration in the hope that we'll break some of the log jams and stir things up. I would prefer to have somebody who got his facts straight before he tweeted, but I look forward to the opportunity that he's going to have to break, as he said, drain the swamp. And I really appreciate some of the things he's done in his tweets recently, like telling the House of Representatives that gutting the ethics committee was
right.
A really
probably,
bad idea.
Probably not the best idea at the moment. All right, we're going to play some commercials. We'll be back on the other end with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. If you'd like to call in and join us, 254-773-1400 is the number, and we'll be back.
And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And the telephone number in here is 773-1400, area code's 254, so it's 254-773-1400. You know, it's getting kind of interesting. I wonder if we did a survey right now. Maybe somebody's already done a survey, whether the majority of people even still have landlines. I think the majority of people are now operating off cell phones. Anyway. We have a caller on 773-1400, and you're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking about what you've been talking about on the spying and things.
Sure.
And I remember as a kid, Nikita Khrushchev pounding on the table and saying they're going to destroy America from within.
Yeah, that's what he said is, no, I guess he pounded on there and said, we will bury you.
Right. And I can remember also the intelligence at that time were saying they could tell us what he had for breakfast, whether it was over easy, his eggs were over easy, hard, scrambled, or sunny side up. So we've been doing this a long, long time, and we're the best at it there is. They're catching up to us now. But the biggest thing is President Obama sent over $300 million and 200 people to Israel to try to beat a man running for office in another country. And he has the gall to think that somebody else does the same thing.
Yeah. And, well, the fact is, you're right. But it's wrong no matter who did it. And Obama's on the way out of office, and Putin is still in office, and the issue then is pretty simple. A foreign power attempted to hack our system. Now, I basically have a lot of sympathy for Putin, because a lot of what he does from his perspective is perfectly rational. And I think that, yes, the fact that the IRS or the General Services Administration or the civil service got hacked into by the Chinese and they literally got everybody's data is inexcusable. And it did happen under the Obama administration. I think he needs to bear full responsibility for that.
And let me come in from a different direction. What you said is absolutely true. The United States has a history of affecting other people's elections.
Yes.
If you look at, and in some cases, no election required, just a lot of guns. If you look at Guatemala, we've been involved in multiple coups there. We've been involved in coups all over the world.
And they're generally a bad idea every time we do
They
it.
Generally blow up in our faces. But what's important here, and I'm going to say something a little bit American-centric and quite arrogant. Don't do it to us.
You're right.
You know, that's arrogant for me to say, but I'm going to stand by it. I do not want another power in the world to be influencing us in ways that we would do to somebody else. It's that simple. I don't believe that it's in our best interest long term to continually go out and affect other election cycles unless they're direct threats to us. And this is, you just said this a minute ago, that you have some sympathy for Putin.
I do.
I do too. Who is the biggest threat to Russia right now?
We are.
We are. So it's totally in his best interest to mess with our election, to give fake news, to give some. Now, let's go in another direction. What President-elect Trump said is absolutely true. There is absolutely nothing wrong with being on good relations with Russia.
Right.
I think being on good relations with Russia is fantastic as long as they don't tweak us like this, because we're not tweaking them. We've got some agreements with Russia. We are listening in on what they do, just like you said, and what Khrushchev was during that time period. We know what he's having for breakfast. He knows what we're having for breakfast. That's fine. As soon as he starts messing with the minds of our people, or we start messing with the minds of his people, we get back into Cold War. We don't get into, we're just watching you. It's us broadcasting radio transmissions across Russia saying Putin is bad.
And for whatever it's worth, your comment about the our attempts to influence the election in Israel, I completely agree with you. We had no business, and I will criticize the President Obama on two points.
I've got a lot more than that. But what Kerry said about Israel recently is just absurd.
And I can actually go back to President Bush, who insisted on supporting a fully democratic, fully open election in Palestine. There's no way that's going to happen to begin with.
No.
And secondly, the end result was that Hamas got elected to run both sides of Palestine.
Right. What has to be understood here is that democracy is not magic. If it's an election and you have a choice between electing someone who's supporting an occupying power that you don't like or supporting someone who's been feeding your kids, and those terrorists have been feeding kids and educating kids because that's how they recruit them, well, then that's who you vote for. Democracy is not magic. You have to have a stable position to begin with democracy, and the flip side of that is Kerry saying that there has to be a two-state solution in such a way that's limiting the actions of Israel at the UN. That's absurd as well, because Israel, and this is another arrogant thing, yes, they did take land that other people were living on. Somebody took it from them too. The important part here is that we have a stable democratic republic as an ally who's in nuclear power and has supported us in every opportunity. They make a huge amount of our military equipment, the software and the hardware and the electronics, and a lot of our military equipment comes from Israel. And we just supported people who like to bomb us over our ally. I don't like that. I'm going to hold Obama accountable for that. I'm going to hold Kerry accountable for that. I don't like Kerry at all. And the fact that Kerry was the one that said that and had Obama's blessing in doing it, I think is a good summation of the foreign policy of the Obama administration, which has just been ethics-based, but not based in who's going to benefit from it.
You know, let's talk – can we change subjects?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's change subject to protect the innocent. There's a big move going on in the economy right now beneath the surface. We mentioned it in the email – not the email, the letter that we do every week. And it's really from a perspective of an investor, it's an important thing to understand. For the last probably 5 years or so, American corporations have been buying back stock because they considered it too low and hoarding cash, and in many cases going out and borrowing money they don't need because they looked at the interest rates on their AAA credit rating and realized they could borrow money for less than it cost them in interest. In other words, they could, if you factor in inflation and the tax write-offs they get for interest on bonds, they basically had a negative interest rate on bonds they could go out and sell to the public, and so somebody would pay them to borrow money. So they spent a lot of money, and they wound up with a lot of cash, and they used it to buy back stocks. But what they didn't use it for, by and large, once we got out of that initial recovery from the 2008-2009 recession, they did not use the money to buy new equipment and build new factories. They basically kicked back and said it's not worth it at this point. And there's a couple of really good reasons it wasn't worth it. One that's affected us and is politically very big is the fact that, very frankly, the Obama administration just overregulated the heck out of everything. And those regulations made it very, very difficult to expand, to grow, or even to hire people. That's a minor point, though. The big point, and this is something in the economy that's important to understand, is the very, very low interest rates. The lower interest rates get, the more money a corporation has to spend in their retirement account to meet minimum standards, because the standard, the federal standard by which these things are measured, is what's called the federal midterm rate, which is approximately the same thing as the 10-year Treasury note rate, which was like last summer 1.36%. And at 1.36% interest, if you want to 20 years from now have a lot of money, you have to put a heck of a lot of money in on the front end. As a matter of fact, you have to put in more money on the front end under the way it's set up right now. You'd actually literally have to put more money in on the front end than you expected to get out on the back end, because after inflation, if you assume inflation in 3% and you assume your interest rate at 1.36%, you got to literally put twice as much money in as you expect to get out on the other side, which is really dumb, but that's just the way our system is set up. So they have been plowing money into their retirement accounts. And a few years from now, they're all going to have excesses. But now that interest rates have started up, and it's not a coincidence, with rising interest rates, you get – the interest rates are rising because the economy is improving. Because the economy is improving and interest rates are rising, these corporations are now suddenly willing to invest the money in new equipment, in new plant, and in employee training. We're headed for a boom. It's that it's a fairly simple issue, which is why – we saw for the last 12 months the S&P 500 up almost 19%, because investors are seeing this coming. And if you're a sophisticated investor, you've already researched all of this and you know everything I'm talking about, but I would imagine we don't have a lot of sophisticated investors listening at this point. So the point is, the reason the market is up is because interest rates went up. The reason interest rates went up is because the economy is improving.
And as interest rates go up and the economy improves, it's kind of a reinforcing cycle up to a point where more money from the corporations, and man, do they have a lot of money, gets injected into the system and they build more plants. Now, right now, the limiting factor is employees, which means we'll be seeing a lot of robotics. But that is an important thing to recognize that's going on out there right now.
Now, we're about out of time. Thanks for listening this week. This has been the Personal Wealth Coach. If you would like to contact us off the air,
our local telephone number is 254-947-1111.
You can reach that same number toll-free at 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com or tpwc.com. You can email us directly, jake@tpwc.com or jeff@tpwc.com. On our website is more podcasts. Please remember to take your medication before listening. And until next week, this has been the Personal Wealth Coach.
Fair, balanced, your Fox News radio station in Central Texas. News Radio 1400 KTEM AM, Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.